Angie Coombs. The Waterfall Journey, Essential for Travelers. Authenticity.
Morning, everybody. Last time I spoke about identity, and this week I'm going to speak about authenticity. And really, what I feel called at the moment to do is to speak about some of the overarching things about living in the waterfall, the crucial things that God is leading us towards with the waterfall. Now, there are some people in here who haven't been exposed to the waterfall journey, so I just need to do a quick thing. The waterfall is the river of water of life that flows from the throne of heaven, from the heart of the Father. It's his love and his spirit that he, and those are the conditions that we were supposed to live in. When we look in Eden, Adam and Eve had no needs because they were in that overflow of love from the Father. They knew who they were, whose they were, and what they were there for. And that resonates, doesn't it, with what we were saying about Jesus last week. He knew his identity. He knew those things. And that gave him authority and certainty and clarity. And we see that in Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. They were into spirit-to-spirit communication with the Father. They were absolutely and utterly loved. And now, because of Jesus, we can choose to live in that place. We can choose to abide in the presence of the Father, walking this earth like Jesus did, connected to the Father, doing what came into his head and his heart because he was in the flow of the Spirit, trusting his Father for all things, obeying his Father. We can live in the same way. In the Waterfall Journeys on Tuesday, we've been learning the practical ways of living that out, because this is where disciples live. This is where we need to walk if we're going to be not only who God created us to be, but to do everything that he gave us to do. The kingdom and the outcome and the timing depends on us. Walking out as Jesus walked here with the things that he has to do here. So this week I'm going to talk about authenticity. So that means if something's authentic, it's genuine, it's true, it's the real thing. Jesus was the real thing. He didn't act out being the Messiah. He was the Messiah. It flowed out from every fiber of his being. You know, who we are, whether we're authentic or not, is recognizable. When Jesus was in the boat, when he just met Peter on the beach and asked him to borrow the boat to speak to the crowds, that short period of time, Jesus was known by Peter. He could see. This is the real thing. And so when Jesus says, as the master carpenter to the master fisherman, go put your nets out for a catch, he says, because you say so. He'd seen the real thing. There was a time when Jesus had come back. It was during the year of the Pharisees getting more and more hostile and looking to find ways of dealing with Jesus and arresting him and killing him. And Jesus had come to the temple and was preaching. And the Pharisees sent temple guards to go and get him, okay? And they didn't arrest him. And they came back and they said, we've never heard anyone speak like this. And it was because they've gone with a purpose, with all the authority behind them, think they've got to go and explain why they haven't arrested Jesus. And they go and they say, well, we haven't heard anybody speak like this. And why? It's because Jesus was the real thing. He was authentic. So this being the real thing, It comes about, authenticness comes about being congruent on the inside and the outside. Like a stick of rock that's the same all the way through. Like the iron filings lined up with a magnet, all going in the same direction. And it's about our character and our personhood and our identity coming out. I don't know whether you watch, but I love a program on, I don't know what channel it is because I hop, but it's called, I think it's called Faking It. And it's a team of three experts, and they're used in criminal cases where they get people perhaps doing a press conference or somebody doing an interview with the police after a crime. And they watch. And one looks at the body language, one looks at the choice of words, and the other looks at the way that they speak. And one of the things that comes out time and time again is a word, this person is leaking the truth, even though they're playing an act on top of it. You know, we can't help leaking the truth of what's within us. Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We leak who we are. Jesus just leaked to Jesus. He was absolutely authentic. But actually, when we're looking for authenticity, when we look at somebody, we're not looking up here, we're looking at the heart. What's going on the heart of the person inside? Because that's kind of where the assessment comes of who this person is, their character, their being, their identity, everything flows out of this. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, that gives us a problem, doesn't it? Gives us all a problem. Because of the fall. Because instead of being that place where we were aligned with the heart and the love and the character of our Father in heaven, because we've been put out and we've had to strive to survive, and we've had to hide the things inside us that we don't like, we know that we are all damaged goods. There is a journey that we need to go on. Here in this room this morning, there'll be all sorts of things going on inside each one of us. All sorts of positions, all sorts of things that we're saying, which don't truly align with what the Father says, what God says about us. We'll be still believing some of the lies. We're working on it, but we work slice by slice. There's always more. There's more. It's the sanctification process that God is beginning to align us slice by slice into being Jesus. But there's a way to go. The fact is that we all need heart surgery. Just let me read. I should have read this bit. Let me start with Matthew. So I want to peg this into scripture. For someone going to read Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and your words will be condemned. So we're all in need of heart surgery. And if we look at heart surgery, we have to go to Ezekiel 36. God is talking to the Israelites about their hard hearts, and he's saying he's going to do a work in them, but he's going to do this work for his glory, So these people will be seen to be different, will be seen to be so outstanding from all the other people around them that they will be seen and recognized by others. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness. This is a wonderful passage. In it, there are and just above and below, there are seven I wills from God. You know, God so cares that he takes charge. He wants to take charge. When it comes to heart surgery, he wants to be the surgeon. And one of the things I love about this, he's talking about them having hearts of stone. And he's talking about softening it so that their hearts of flesh. And that's one of the things about that a heart of flesh is sensitive to the fruits of the Spirit, to compassion, to gentleness, to kindness. Our hearts have got so much to come out of being driven and defended and hardened because we need to fight our own battles out there in the world. God is trying to move us to this place. And this journey from hardness to softness, well, we're in a different place. We are a new creation. We are born again. We have the water and the blood that has changed us. But as with all these things, God needs our cooperation. He needs us being willing to let him do it. We have the resources of heaven to help his surgery. We don't have to wait to have a heart attack. It's about being willing to let the God in to deal with it. And this, you know, is so important, is understanding this journey. Part of the reason the church and the broad church is not the force that it should be is that people don't understand this journey to healing, to claiming your identity, to really knowing that, to really becoming the real thing in Jesus. It is the walk to wholeness and it's the walk to holiness. And in the broad church, very often people think that being born again, you're in, it's enough. I can now sit in the pew, we can do these good things. I can do this and I can do that and I can do that. That's only periphery. The whole substance of this is God crying out saying, you're my people. I'll do this. I will transform you. And I will make you like Jesus. To be the real thing, recognized. So much of the problem in the church and why we get a bad press is we're not authentic, we're not the real thing. It's recognized out there. It's recognized when we do things wrong. You know, that's why we need forgiveness, and that's why we need forgiveness between each other. I've recognized I got that bit wrong. I've recognized. And so forgiveness becomes the oil of the unity in the relationships. But God has got a higher purpose for us. There's a high calling for us. There are higher standards. There's more. You know, in the beginning, when we become born again, it's very common to think, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, God can't love me. And that's where we start. But as we journey and know who we are in God, what he's done for us, to set us free. If we come on the waterfall journey that we've been doing, it's to free us to be everything that he created us to be the real thing. So we don't need to beat ourselves up. We just need to offer ourselves up. Lord, search me. Search my heart. It's such a big prayer. It's a big and a dangerous prayer, because God has said, I will. And if you say, Lord, here I am. Lord, take my heart. Soften it. Cleanse it. Bring it in line with you. Make it the real thing. God will do it. And it can be painful. It's heart surgery. Sometimes there's anesthetic. Sometimes there isn't. But God knows the right way for the right moment for the bit he's dealing with you now. Sometimes when we talk about holiness, you know, people say, no, only Jesus was holy. Wrong. Jesus says, be holy as I am whole. We're on a journey to wholeness and holiness. And holiness is about being cleansed. It's about this lining up of mind and heart and will and love and living in the love. So we know how we present ourselves. If we look at Luke, it's the opposite passage to, or it's the same passage as Mark, but it has a little bit extra in. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And that's it. You can't fake and be unrecognized. We cannot pretend and not be known and seen. And God wants to work on us, not in a harsh way. He wants us to want to be like Jesus. I mean, we sing it. And on a level, we all want that. But it's actually, you know, will you come deeper? Will you intentionally stand and choose to stand in this place where Jesus walked? I will abide in the presence of the Father. I will let you, Father, give me heart surgery. Open me up, Lord, to your cleansing and to your healing and to your sprinkling of your water. Where my heart is hard, soften me, Lord. Where my heart is broken, Lord, mend my broken heart. Touch it with your healing touch. Bring life to my heart, Lord, that I might be Jesus. And this is the call on our lives. This is the big thing. This is why we can't go week by week being the same. It's partly we have to be intentional. I'm here, Lord, I'm willing. I want to be aware. One of the joys of the waterfall journey and the privileges of it is it gives us a pathway. It gives us awareness. It gives us something to recognize how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. As he takes us on our healing and our equipping, he makes us aware of living in this place of trust and growing in him. But if we don't let him work and do heart surgery on us, then in the end, more and more, we're going to be faking it. More and more, what will leak out is us and not the light and the love and the life of Jesus. And so that's what he's saying this morning. It's about us being the real thing. It's about that always that what we speak comes out of the overflow of our heart, and that's Jesus. And he's recognized as Jesus. And believe me, then when we go out into the world, we'll leak Jesus. Okay, that's what people will recognize in us. That's what will draw people to the light. Not what you do, but who you are, because you're recognized like Jesus was as the real thing. So may our prayer this morning be that before God, we're willing to be open, that we offer ourselves again to Him. Lord, take me. I'll go where you send me. But it's no good going where God sends you if you're going to leak the wrong things out there. We need to be leaking Jesus, the real thing.